He has a man in the scripture. He planted, and after planted, he gathered whatever he has planted. He built up stores, and then after that, he looked at whatever he has achieved. Then he said to his soul, "May my soul rest in peace and enjoy what I've achieved." You know what the Lord said to him? "You are a fool. Because tonight, you are living. Tonight, you are dying." Sorry, I did not put on this thing. I see, Jeremy, how he looks at me. But the Lord said to him, "Tonight your soul is required." In other words, you are living this world. Now the question that is in my heart always, it's the question that, what is my comfort? What is really my comfort in life? In this life and in death, what is my real comfort? All of us sitting here, there are things that comfort us, isn't it? There are things that we trust. There are things that we cherish. We even work hard to maintain their status so that they can keep on comforting us. It can be your friends. It can be your church board. It can be whatever you think it comforts you. But how long will it last? How long will it really bring comfort in your life? Some of you tend to be preachers of the word for the rest of your life. What really comforts you? Is it the big number of the people before you? Is it maybe the big salary that you might get? That might leave you somewhere in the middle of nowhere. That's the question that really strikes me every day when I read the scriptures. What is the comfort of my life? What is the true comfort of my life? Now, read with me Romans chapter 14, 7 to 9. And some of you who have done the Heidelberg Catechism, you might have a sense of this question. Sorry if you don't know it, but today you might know it. Romans chapter 14, verse 9 to 7. It reads thus: "For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies for himself or to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be the Lord both of the dead and of the living." That's the word of the Lord, and may it live in our heart from now on and forevermore. Amen. Now, having this text at the back of our minds, here is the question which I want us to answer as we continue. It is the question that lies in the catechism, or in the Heidelberg Catechism, that place. What is your only comfort in life and in death? Now it asks me and you as a Christian. It asks me and you as a child of God. What is actually your comfort in life and in death? Now listen to the answer. It makes me sleep in peace every day when I look at this answer. And I want to share it with you. That I am not on my own, but belong with body and soul, both in life and in death, to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ. You are still with me, eh? For he has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood, and has set me free from all the power of the devil. He also preserved me in such a way that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair of my head fall without his knowledge. Isn't it a comfort? Isn't it a great God that we have? Now, I will summarize my message in this way. The true comfort comes from God through Christ. I know in seminars you love some themes so much that you won't pass your preaching without them. But my heading is this. The only true comfort comes from the Lord through Christ Jesus. Now the first thing, the origin of my comfort, the sustenance of my comfort, the outcoming or the outcome of knowing the origin of my comfort. As I've said, brothers and sisters, we all need comfort in life. Some have thought, if I have money, I might be comforted. Some have thought, if I get a good job, I might be comforted. Some have thought, if I may gain there and there certain things in life, I might be comforted. Some have thought, if I may gain certain degrees in my life, I might be comforted. But when you look at this text, Paul is actually writing to the Christians, reminding them that self-seeking, actually, it's a sin against God. One cannot find a true comfort of life. One cannot find a true comfort of life in the things of this world. Why? Because they are temporary. They comfort us for a certain time. And there they fade away. But it brings a very concrete and everlasting message. And the message which says the comfort needed in this life and the life thereafter is found in God through Christ. For the Bible says, for none of us here as Christians lives for himself, and none of us dies for himself. None of us. As Christians, none of us as children of God lives or even dies for himself. For we all belong to Christ in this life and the life thereafter. I think this generates real comfort in our hearts. Why? Just to know that I actually do not own myself. Actually, I am a property of God. And being a property of God, it means now he knows every single need of my life. He knows every single need of my family. He knows every single need of the ministry he called me into. Why? Because I am his property. He purchased me with his blood. And the Bible says it's not just the blood, but it's a precious blood. And that made me that when I live for him. That when I die, I am still safe. Now, the problem, fellow Christians, is that the problem with the comforts of this world only caters for now, isn't it? They only cater for a time being. They only cater while maybe we maintain them. Or maybe yours. They might cater you until you leave this world. Maybe fortunately. But will they cater you after life? Will they really serve the purpose after life? Will you still find comfort and be able to look in the eyes of your Father and say, I have served you. And I find comfort in you. No. To be like that man who says, my soul rest and enjoy, for you have worked hard. And the Lord said, you are dying tonight. So So brothers and sisters, without Christ, even if we preach the gospel, even if we attend church services, it doesn't last for life. Think of what Christ said once. Many will say, I have preached the word. I have done miracles. I have prayed to your people. But you found comfort in that. But he said, I don't know you. Actually, I've never even known you. What is your true comfort? In life and in death. And the Bible brings it. I belong to my Savior. And the reason is very simple. I don't need to work hard. I don't need to really impress him so that I may gain the comfort. For he already died and purchased that for me. For he portrayed himself, God, to us through his word. He portrayed himself as reaching out to us, trapped in sin, and giving us comfort. And not just comfort. True comfort. Paul says, for me to live is Christ. And to die is a gain. How does it come? Because he found comfort in the Lord. He finds comfort in the Lord. He finds peace in the Lord. And he says to the Lord, I pray 3 times that you may remove this thorn on my flesh. And the Lord says, my mercy is actually greater than that. Find peace in that. For I am with you. We don't need to serve. We don't need to work hard and try to impress the Lord with everything. And try to really make things that will impress. I said now, he has already purchased us. Scripture says, when we live for the Lord. When we die for the Lord. Whether in life, whether in death, we are a property of Christ. And always when I read this, I remember Adam and Eve. When they sinned against the Lord in the Garden of Eden, they became scared and really sad and disappointed. And they hide themselves. And the Lord seek for them. And he found them. Irrespective of the punishment he also gave them hope. He also gave them hope. That through your seed, you will find life. And that's the comfort we preach today. My fellow brothers and sisters, Christ is the only founder or the foundation of your comfort and nothing else, because he purchased you and he purchased me with his precious blood. Not anything that I have, not anything that I've acquired will ever bring that everlasting joy. But the next question is, when we realize the only comfort we find in God, the only comfort we have is in Christ. Now my question to you is this. What is your real comfort? What really comforts you? You know, you talk to the worldly people out there, more especially the insurance guys, and they tell you, the only thing that can put your heart on rest, that's when you invest now, so that you are on your own pension, then you can enjoy while resting somewhere else. But that's true, eh? That is true for this life. That is 100% true. The only comfort that will bring joy for me in this life. And when I pass over this life, and I can still look in the eyes of my Father, and He can be able to say, well done, my servant, come and dine with me. That's the comfort found in Christ. The second thing, how then do I keep on trusting? How then do I keep on this comfort? How then do I keep rejoicing in the Lord? How then do I keep having this feeling that my Lord is alive? Verse 9 it says, For to this end, Christ died and liveth again, that he might be Lord, inkosi yethu, both of death and the living. He may be the Lord of the both and the dead and the living. Now, as the King of our lives, as the ruler of our lives, He preserves. You know, from the answer, He says, He preserves us. That even nothing, even a drop of our hair, will never fall without His knowledge. When I look at my daughter when they do whatever they do on their head, I don't know what you call it, but when I'm trying to look at the number of the hair on the head they are putting on there, then I'm asking myself, God, if one falls and you know, but I hardly can count even two of them, you are an amazing God. You are a real God. You surpass all the gods that we think we have. Just look at the hair. For us, you don't see anything. But more especially women, you try to count them, and you ask yourself, you won't even reach three. You'll be counting one, two times. But our God, it says, even a drop, a small one, when it falls, He knows. That brings joy, comfort, that I am in the good hands. That He preserves me to continue having this comfort, that He lives. And when He lives, I am safe. He preserves me in such a way that without the will of my Heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Indeed, all things must work together for my salvation. Therefore, by His Holy Spirit, He also assures me of eternal life and makes me heartily willing and ready from now on to live for Him. Think of Job. The Lord said, you can do whatever you want to do, but you will never touch his soul. You know the story, what happened. But it proves to us, and it tells us, and it teaches us, God is our only comfort in this life. And we can rejoice in Him. When trouble hits, when poverty hits, when struggles in the country hits, when things go wrong, we can still go back to Him, for we find joy in Him. You look out there in the country, you read the newspapers, you look at the television, you see how people lost joy and comfort in our leaders. But we have the best leader whom we can turn our face together as Christians and say, God, what is our life without you? What is our life without you being there? Without you being there, we are as well as dead. For me to live is Christ. And for me to die is a gain, for my comfort is in the Lord. God gives me good, strong, biblical sound comfort through His Holy Spirit to joyfully live my life in willingness to have no fear of tomorrow. For He sustains that comfort in me. He keeps that comfort in me running daily, irrespective of whatever happens around me. Through His Word, through His Holy Spirit. And when I say through His Word, and there comes this chapter of Psalm 121, when it says, He will not let your feet to move. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day nor by moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep you going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. That's the God we have. Who does not sleep? Who does not slumber? Doesn't it bring comfort to you? Doesn't it maintain what you know about Him? That I worship the living God who has planned for me in this life and has planned for me after life. Listen to this again. My help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. For when I live, it's because of Him. For when I die, it's because of Him. And I have eternal life. My fellow students and brothers and sisters, where is your comfort? We all trusted in man. We all trusted in certain things in our life. And let's just ask ourselves today, where are they? Where are they? I remember somebody when I started here at Mukanya said, "Now we will pay for all your school fees." Oh, that was a joyous celebration. And somewhere in the middle of nowhere, Dr. Bates called, and you can remember the voice where, if you know him. You know those people. Yeah. Eh? They've turned your back, their back on you. Turned your back on me. And you have the full week in the classroom. But you know, then he turned around and he said to me, and it sounded like a joke at that moment, "Let's pray for them. And the Lord will provide." You know, when you're sad, it sounds like a joke. How can I pray? Well, I'm just about to be kicked out of this place. And we prayed that day. And I'm done today. And when I look back, and I say, "God, my only true comfort is in your hands." Where's your comfort? The only sustainer or maintainer of our true comfort is God, who created you and who created the heaven and the earth. He does not sleep. He does not slumber. He does not forget His promises. He does not forget His children. And He will preserve you and me in this life and the life thereafter. Let's just come to an end. How then should I live now? By knowing all this. How then should I conduct my life? By knowing all this. By knowing that God is there watching me. He sustains what I feel, or else you'd have died a long time ago because of what I've experienced, what you've experienced. But He keeps the fire moving through His Word and through His Spirit. You know, I'm comforted with these answers in the Heidelberg Catechism always. When it says then, how can I live now in this comfort and live joyfully in this comfort? And they put it this way. What do you need to know in order to live and to die in the joy of this comfort? How do I then forever live my life in this joy until the Lord remembers me? It says first, how great my sins and miseries are. Second, how am I delivered from all these sins and my miseries? Three, and how can I be thankful to God for saving me, for making me who I am, for sustaining what I have, for keep the fire of faith alive in me? How do I live a life of thankfulness? It's in your heart to look at the Lord and say to Him, how best can I please you? For now I know I have done nothing to save myself. My sins and my miseries are so heavy for me. But you save me. That's the reason when I live for you. And when I die, I still die for you. How can I best be thankful to you as my Savior? As I close, what is your comfort? What really makes you sleep at night and never worry? It's in your heart to say to the Lord, my only comfort, it's you. In this life and the life forever. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord guide you. And may the Lord sustain you to keep this faith. For it shall never be an easy road. Whatever they've done to our Lord, surely along the line, it might happen on us. But faith that we have and that He sustained in us through His Word and His Holy Spirit will make us to always say, we trust in your providence. Amen. Let's bow our heads and thank the Lord. Father, thank you. Father, we worship you. And we glorify your name. For God, you deserve all the glory. You deserve all the adorations. For when we look at you, God, there is no any other God. They have tried. The question is, where are they today? For you created everything. The angels in heaven, they sing before your throne each and every day. Holy, holy, it's your name. They can't even look at your throne for how great you are. Who are we, Lord? But your servants, your children, whom you have loved, whom you have saved through the precious blood of Christ. Today, we are who we are. We are called the priests. We are called the kings. We are called the prophets because of the blood of your Son. And that makes us, God, to live this life. Great comfort. For knowing we are never lost when we are in your hands. We are never lost when we are in your presence. And nothing can separate us from your love. Whether poverty, whether sickness, whether trauma, whatever, God, your love remains forever. And that's what makes us to say, we are comforted in your name. I pray for my brothers and sisters here. I pray for the staff, God. And I pray for each and everyone involved in this premises, that God, may you bind them. May you be with them. May you use them in their different roles to fulfill the calling that you placed in them. For the glory is not for us, but for you. And we never forget to pray for the principal of this college. Not that he may be great, but that he may learn with him work, to trust in you. That you may use him as you have used him, to continue faithfully serving you. Continue using him, God, as you have used him in the years that have passed, to encourage and support those who need his support. And each and every member of the staff, you know their needs. You know what is burning in their hearts. Oh, please, Lord, may you remember them. May you grant them what is necessary. In Jesus' name, that they may serve you faithfully from now on and forevermore. May your word remain in us. In Christ's name. Amen.